Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on a Friday. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none. Yesterday during the show, I did snack on a barrel pickle from Brewers Outlet as I was doing the show. The same may happen again today. Corey made sure we were fully stocked out at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. And we appreciate that. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. The Phillies are back on tonight here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's going to be a very interesting summer of Phillies baseball. We're thrilled to have them on, and they are a franchise on the rise. Very intriguing franchise. So that's coming up. The Celtics beat the Sixers last night. Ben Simmons had 1 point. Cavaliers won again last night. The Penguins in a rough and tumble one beat Washington to tie that series at 2 apiece. And Nashville won last night at Winnipeg to tie that series at 2 apiece. Kentucky Derby is tomorrow at Churchill Downs. Steve Bortstein is going to join us on the show later to talk about the Derby. From Fox Sports Radio, will be on at 4:06. Jared Diamond's going to join us in the next half hour. Wall Street Journal, the national baseball writer. And then the Prince of Sheet Metal will be on with us as well. Yeah. The Braves beat the Mets 11-0 last night. The Braves are in first place. They're 19-11. Huh? What? The Braves. Sean, good afternoon.
Afternoon. Looking forward to what's going to be a fantastic sports weekend. First Saturday in May, always busy. And, yeah, a lot to cover. There was a crazy matchup last night with Pittsburgh and Washington.
Yep.
It was a crucial game four for Pittsburgh. I guess we could one fight after another. TJ Oshie, I could have sworn he lifted his skate up when he got into that little dust-up with Chris Letang when Jake Gensel scored that empty netter with about a minute to go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, they duked it out a bit. I did, once again, just a quick suit update for everybody. I did get in touch with him this morning. He says he's feeling better, still a bit sore, but doesn't have the back spasms. And so that part is, I don't know if you've seen him in the building or not.
Yep, he's back in today.
Okay, good.
Yep. Good to see him today. We caught up for a couple minutes. Did not rush out of his chair to give me a high five or a fist bump or anything like that. You know,
he doesn't do that anyway.
Right.
I mean, when he does that, no. He does not do that. I think he'd be surprised. You know, I've been texting him every day just to make sure he's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of them have been on behalf of Suit Light, because he doesn't want to talk to him, but I guess the conversation would go another way. but yeah, he seems to be feeling better, which is good. Again, you got to remember, he plays in a golf tournament. He doesn't play a lot of golf. He likes to play golf, but he doesn't play. Well, the torque on your back when you play is not, it's not, if you don't play, isn't easy. And I think that's what happened with him. I think that... I think that's what happened with
him. Well, the story with Tiger Woods and, you know, his long recovery back from his back procedures, plural. Yeah, you can't mess around with the back for sure.
No, you
it makes you wonder how long his back was aggravating him, maybe even more than we even know.
No, probably. And that's, and again, this is a case where you can use that as an example with him, because again, think of the turn that back is going to make. You bring it back, and then you fire through. And he's not used to doing that. And now, when it came to chipping and putting, you know, you don't use your back as much. So, I mean, he was pretty much pain-free doing that. But he seems to be feeling better, which is good. I guess the adjustment, he told me the adjustment didn't quite get him to 100%, he told me he got him to 75.
Okay.
But I know many of you are concerned about how he's doing, and wanted to make sure that we keep you up to date on how he is. People are expecting a joke. Insert joke here. No, not going to do it. But, no.
No, not going to do it. We'll wait till he's back up to 80%.
Once he gets to 76%,
fire away.
Then at that point, it's really Katie bar the door. All right, let's. I mentioned the Braves are 19-11 at this point.
Yeah, what a crazy division! You know, the Phillies are up and coming. I mean, they're playing really well. Crucial series this weekend with Washington. The Mets are the Mets
500.
Are the Mets turning into the Mets again?
I don't know. They've lost three in a row.
And DeGrom, I guess, got hurt now.
Yeah, they're starting to remember who they are. Brewers got off to a great start last year. They're off to a great start this year. The Cardinals are off to a better start. Arizona's been great. Colorado's been pretty good. The Dodgers are slumping. Red Sox obviously off to an awesome start. You've got the best record in baseball. And the Yankees are a whopping one game back. You got 7-10 and 6-77 playing in the American League East right now. And that's amazing. Let's see. Cleveland, good. Not the best division. That helps. And the Angels are tied with the Astros for first. It's percentage points. And the Mariners are only a half game back. So the West's pretty good. It'd be nice if the Angels would win. That way, Mike Trout, who's only been in one playoff ever, could actually play in the playoffs. Jeez. And that one playoff series, I think it was against Kansas City. He didn't play well. Yeah. We mentioned Peter King leaving Sports Illustrated yesterday. I think he... it's at the end of the month. And somebody asked me today, will he draw a lot more people to the NBC website? I said, you know, I don't know. I think it's a really... that's an interesting thing, because over the years, and it's happened a lot in our industry, where someone goes from one radio station to another radio station, do they then bring all their listeners with them? Now, I think in markets such as these that we're in, I think if you were to take one personality from one to another, yeah, it would make a huge difference. In larger markets, it really has not really borne out that way. There was a guy that dominated morning radio in Pittsburgh on KDKA. And he left, and he took a job with, I think it was an FM station. And their ratings went up a little bit, but he did not take his, quote, audience with him because people were tuned in to 1020 KDKA all the time. That's the style. The style they wanted was the style of the station. So I would think Peter going over there, look, he's always been a guy that sees the big picture. Here's the big problem they've got. Sports Illustrated's for sale. And Richard Deitch, for example, was writing an article in The Athletic about his move from SI to The Athletic. And he said, look, he says, here's the bottom line. He said that everybody's gone in to talk to upper management, and nobody can tell them the future of the magazine. Nobody can tell them the future of the website. And the reason nobody can tell them is that they haven't been sold yet, and they're for sale. So nobody knows what the future holds for SI, SI.com. I mean, Sports Illustrated's down to a bi-weekly magazine now. I think that with special editions and so forth, I think they're, what, 39 weeks out of the year? 39 weeks. And there's the thing about scaling it back even more so. Magazines are... It's interesting. We all like to go to a magazine rack and pick up the magazine. Yeah, you know, kind of flip through it. A lot of us do. But they're dying left and right. And SI, I mean, there's no way on the planet growing up that I ever thought Sports Illustrated would go out of, could possibly go out of business. No way. Now, they're still in business, but the door might be open to them not being in business. Huh? But if I were to have, if you were in my shoes growing up, magazines such as Sporting News, Look, Life magazine. Well, Life magazine was bigger than Life as a magazine. Look was. Sporting News was big. They don't exist as magazines anymore. So Peter's going to take his Monday Morning Quarterback column, and he cannot call it Monday Morning Quarterback any longer. And he's going to go over to the NBC website. Now, admittedly, you know, you have your list of favorites here and so forth. You know, and I've got CBS Sportsnet, SI, ESPN. You know, and then other specialty things such as, you know, I've got on here KenPom ratings, basketball analytics, football analytics, AccuWeather, things like that. But I don't have NBC on there. I'll probably change up, you know, just because and add them on for me because Peter will be writing for them. It's one of the reasons why I ended up subscribing, and you know, it's one of my favorites, The Athletic. Because I wanted to get quality, what I perceived as quality sports writing. Joe Posnanski, for example, just got on board with The Athletic. You know, Jason Stark's there. Peter Gammons is there. I'm looking now. Everyone has their own interest as to what they like. I'm a meat and potatoes sports guy. I mean, that's what I want. I don't want fluff.
Well, it's like with the younger generation and the millennials. It's like when you post something online or on social media, it's got to be something, what do they say, the retention is gone after, what, 90 seconds, 2 minutes? And it's just having that option, a nice refreshing change of pace like The Athletic, where you have more long-form writing. There's that art form of journalism, they want to make sure it doesn't go away.
Well, and they're paying for it, too, and they feel pretty confident in it. And, you know, I mean, Dan O'Neill's over there now. There's a lot of people that I know that are with it. And they're committed to growing it.
Yeah, they have a great group of financial backers that are throwing a lot of money in that. So that's letting them bring some notable people on board to write. And there's still a lot of big city markets that The Athletic hasn't gone into yet that they plan to debut there in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, I mean, this is the college football section on The Athletic. NCAA's conundrum with Michigan State and the Larry Nassar case. How Georgia's fabulous football season boosted its profile and the school's finances. Let's see. Georgia and Clemson are talking about playing again. State of the program, San Diego State. State of the program, Oregon State. Those are things I want to read. Not all of them, but I'll read most of them. I mean, it's interesting when we talk about millennials. And I know that I will group that in questions when I'm talking to Tony Knopp, for example. But again, I always want people to realize, from my point of view, millennials are like any other, whether it's Gen X or baby boomers, whatever. They have cross sections in there just like everybody else. There are young people I teach in my class where they don't have great concentration and everything's a device and whatever. And I have others that want to, you know, read long form. And just, you know, generalizing sometimes is exactly what it means, generalizing. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
It's the weekend, and that means a stop to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, without a doubt, is second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. Gerald Diamond, national baseball writer for the Wall Street Journal, is going to join us in the next half hour. Then Steve Bortstein from Louisville on the Kentucky Derby at 4:06, and my brother joins us at 4:35. It's been a great week. After catching up with everybody, including Adam Purdy and Steve Engel out at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, and Craig played another great round of golf. I thought the Chief and the back nine played a great round of golf. Well, sounds like the suit's feeling a lot better. Sean was out there taking notes, held hostage, watching us play.
No, I wouldn't describe it that way.
The authorities have.
I did not call in the report. I will not plead the fifth. I can tell you with no uncertain terms, nothing to do with that investigation or inquisition.
All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. We're going to talk baseball in the next half hour. Jared Diamond, Wall Street Journal. There have been some expected things in the opening month of the baseball season, and there have been some unexpected things. You have a milestone tonight, possible. This might be the night that Albert Pujols gets his 3,000th hit. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
New Pro Football Hall of Famer Jerry Kramer.
Son, one of these days you're going to be the best guard in football.
He let me know that he approved of me, that he believed in me, and he wasn't a man that dealt in idle chatter. If he believed in me, then I could believe in me, and it changed my life.
The Steve Jones Show, 3 to 5 weekdays on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the WKOK app.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. By the way, just one quick note. The NBA Combine list was released today. Tony Carr of Penn State is on the list. And for the uninitiated, of course he's in the Combine. Oh, yeah. No, that's not how it works. No. It is not easy to get into the NBA Combine. They go tiers in 1, 2, 3, and 4. You really have to be in the top two tiers to get into the NBA Combine. Tony did get in one of the two tiers. So he is in. That's huge for him. That's a big step. And if you think his agent helped him, no. He got himself into the combine, not his agent. All right. Jared Diamond, national baseball writer for the Wall Street Journal. Jared, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Biggest surprise early for you would be what?
I think I'm more surprised about some of the teams that are not playing well than some of the ones that are. Seeing, you know, the Dodgers struggle, the Nationals struggle, some of these teams that I think we all thought were going to run away with their division, sort of hanging around 500 and struggling to sort of get back there. That's been a surprise to me. And I still believe the Dodgers and the Nationals and the Cubs will be fine, but it is weird seeing them sort of languishing here in May.
Can you put your finger on why? Because sometimes, for example, you know, it could be an injury. It could be, you know, they don't quite have the pitching depth we thought they were going to have. What's your, with the Nationals and the Dodgers in particular, why?
Well, the Nationals, I do think injuries have been a big part of it. They haven't had Daniel Murphy, who is a huge part of that lineup. They didn't have Anthony Rendon for a while either. The Dodgers are a bit of a different case. Now, they're dealing with injuries now. You know, they don't have Corey Seager anymore for the rest of the year, which they... a huge loss, but they also just have not gotten the performance that you expect out of certain players. You know, their bullpen has not been nearly as good as the bullpen we saw last year. I still think that when the Dodgers get Justin Turner back in the lineup, hopefully soon, that will make a big impact. He's sort of like Daniel Murphy, a big part of that Dodger lineup. It's still May, still early, but, you know, Memorial Day rolls around in a couple of weeks, and all of a sudden it's not so early anymore.
Right, that's exactly right. I want to ask you about Albert Pujols, who is now on the verge. I mean, it's interesting because a lot of things are happening up there. Let's start with Pujols. He's on the verge of hitting a milestone of 3,000 hits to go with the 600 home runs that he has already. Some of the articles in Southern California have talked about his age. Is he hanging on too long instead of celebrating what he's done? How do you look at the Pujols milestone?
It's an amazing accomplishment. Of course, he really is one of the greatest hitters we've seen in a very, very long time. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I imagine a lot of the frustration in Anaheim and Southern California just stems from the fact that, you know, the player that they have had has not been the player the Cardinals have. It's just a fact. Now, that's not Albert Pujols' fault. The Angels offered him this incredible contract to a player that was 32 years old. Maybe they should have known that his performance was going to decline the way it has. And yeah, he's far past his prime, but he has a lot more money coming to him. And I never blame a player for wanting to continue to play, you know, even beyond the money. I think Albert Pujols just wants to play. And if someone's willing to pay him, or in this case has to pay him to keep playing, I don't blame him for the contract the Angels gave him. And I still think, though, he still has something to offer at the plate. He's certainly far from the player that he was. But he should be celebrated as a truly elite, elite player who will be in the Hall of Fame the moment he goes on the ballot.
Which then brings me to Ichiro. Ichiro has been put into an interesting spot. I mean, they did it. They didn't tell the team until right before the game. He went out and he shagged fly balls before the game last night. What do you think about the Ichiro situation, the fact that he personally is not calling it a retirement?
Yeah, to me, it is. He is retired for all intents and purposes. I do think Ichiro Suzuki is going to play maybe one more game in the major leagues. You know, the Mariners open next season in Japan in, you know, the middle of March, or even before sort of the real season starts, even though they are real games. I believe, and sort of an educated guess with a little bit of knowledge into what's going on or what sort of the thought process has been, with some speculation that they're going to bring him back for spring training next year. He'll play one game in Japan, or get in that bat in Japan, get the sort of retirement send-off that he deserves, and then ride off into the sunset. That's what I think is going to happen. I can't imagine the Mariners having Ichiro retire without some sort of celebration of his career, which is sort of what's happened here with the way this all went down. He's too great of a player not to get that courtesy, that last applause, that last moment. And I think he'll get it probably next year in Japan.
I think you brilliantly opened up your article on April 30th about strikeouts overtaking hits in the majors by referencing 50 years ago, the 1968 season. And that was the season where Bob Gibson had the 1.12 ERA. That was the season where the collective batting average of everyone in the majors was .237. It was the year Yastrzemski led the American League in hitting at .301. He was the only .300 hitter in the American League that year. Now here we are 50 years later. You're seeing more strikeouts than hits. What do you think of the current game, and why is this happening?
Pitching is really, really good. That's one thing. I mean, pitching now is so incredibly good. Pitchers are throwing harder than ever. There's a parade of relief pitchers that all throw 100 miles an hour coming in, starting in the fifth, sixth inning in most cases. And you couple that with the fact that because of these great pitchers and the quality of pitching, it's increasingly difficult to put together 3-4 hits in an inning, the amount of hits you need to really have a rally and drive in some runs. So as a result, how are hitters responding? They're saying, well, we're not going to get 4 hits in a row, so we better try to hit one over the fence, hit a home run. So you see batters swing for the fences. You're seeing a very power-centric approach. Strikeouts are no longer stigmatized, and those two things have come together to create this world where strikeouts and home runs sort of rule the day and everything else takes a back seat.
All right, which then I want to follow that up with, how do you feel about analytics? Now, a batting average is an analytic. Okay, let's start with that. But how do you feel about the mix? Like, Gabe Kapler's in Philadelphia, there's been heavy emphasis on it. Aaron Boone convinced the Yankees organization that he knew a lot about analytics, so he was 180 of Joe Girardi. How do you feel about the balance between analytics and instinct?
Look, I think the results speak for themselves in this case. You mentioned the Yankees and you mentioned the Phillies. Well, the Yankees look incredible and look like World Series contenders in every sense of the word. The Phillies, they're 17-13. They're 2 games out of first place. This is a team that I don't think anyone really expected to be a big contender this year, and they're contending for the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying that's because of Aaron Boone or because of Gabe Kapler, but they've had success doing things the way they've done things so far. And in the case of the Phillies, had success with maybe talent that you wouldn't expect to have this much success. But the data shows the value of the home run. The data shows that strikeouts are in many cases, not all cases, but in many cases, no different than any other out. So, look, I respect the game changing, how it's changing. I believe in progress. I believe we should be using empirical information to improve the game. However, I do think there's an aesthetic quality to baseball that is affected by sort of the lack of action, the rise in strikeouts, and the rise in home runs. I don't know how you change it. I don't know if it really should be changed or needs to be changed, but I think we just have to get on board that the days of, you know, these quick games and batter swing early in the count and hitting ground balls and hitting fly balls, and that's the way the game's played. And for now, those days are over. Maybe they'll come back, but I don't see sort of an avenue for that right now.
See, to me, a big part of you talk about the ability to throw hard. Some of these games ended seven innings because they go to the bullpen and they bring out one 98-mile-per-hour guy, and then they go the eighth to the next 98-mile-per-hour guy who's fresh. They go the ninth to another 98-mile-per-hour guy who's fresh.
Yeah, and you never really face a tired starting pitcher anymore, and that's been a big change in the game as we see the data that shows how much starting pitcher performance drops when they face a lineup for the third time. Teams used to be able to sort of rely on facing that starting pitcher when he's starting to become fatigued and feast on him. Well, that's not happening anymore. These managers are going to get their starters at any sign of trouble, sometimes even before there's a sign of trouble, and going to get fresh arms for every single inning. So now you are facing, like you said, a new arm throwing 99 miles an hour every single time you come up, starting in the sixth inning. Of course strikeouts are up. I mean, that's just difficult. It's hard enough to hit as it is, but when you're looking at how much smarter teams are now and using their bullpen and utilizing their resources coupled with the increase in velocity, I'm not surprised that hitters are struggling to make contact. I think everyone wants to blame the hitters for just swinging for the fences and not looking to make contact. It's really hard to make contact when everyone's going 98 with splitters that disappear and sliders that are going 92 miles an hour.
Another brilliant article is about 3 weeks ago, 25 years of baseball in Florida. The Florida Marlins, now the Miami Marlins, began playing. 20 years ago, the Tampa Bay, then Devil Rays, began playing. And as you pointed out, they sold out exactly one game that entire season. All right, as you analyze Florida now that we have a legitimate sample size, can it succeed down there now that we've seen the sample size?
You know, I think there's two different situations, and it's easy to conflate them because it's both Florida, but I don't think they're necessarily the same. Miami is a very, very difficult sell at this point. They have a new stadium that has not had the impact that they thought it would. Fan support for the team, sort of the relationship between the team and the community, is among the worst in all professional sports, if not the worst in all professional sports. There is a new owner now, Bruce Sherman and Derek Jeter, so I suppose I'll give them the benefit of the doubt, but there's a lot of evidence in that market that baseball is difficult. They've had four owners. They now have a new stadium, so they can't use the stadium excuse for their problems anymore. That's tough. Miami is very difficult, and I hope Derek Jeter and Bruce Sherman could figure out a way to make it work. I give them the benefit of the doubt. Like I said, maybe I'm just not smart enough to figure it out. Tampa Bay, I believe that Tampa Bay could be a viable baseball market. They're a team where the stadium location truly is a problem. You know, people who are familiar with the Tampa Bay area and familiar with where Tropicana Field is located, it is an awful, awful location in St. Petersburg, very far away from sort of the central population centers where people live in the Tampa Bay area. The other encouraging thing about the Rays is that through it all, as bad as their attendance has been, their local television ratings are consistently pretty good. Often they're in the top half of the major leagues. That's a sign that there's interest in the team from the community down there. So I do think they deserve a chance to try to build a stadium in Tampa, maybe a smaller stadium, like 25,000-30,000 seats. I think they could fill it up. We've seen the Tampa Bay Lightning have incredible success in that market. So why shouldn't baseball work too?
And Amalie Arena is downtown, right next to the Hyatt there. I mean, that's a great area to have an arena. And maybe Tampa Bay with the Rays getting a ballpark. Not quite sure where they want to build it in Tampa, but, I mean, putting it there would obviously be a big plus.
Yeah, right now their hope is Ybor City. They have a site in Ybor City kicked out. Whether the financing for the stadium is far from complete, I have absolutely no idea if it'll ever get done. I think it's going to be a very difficult road because who's going to pay for it, how much public money is going to go in. That all has to be figured out. But taking all of that aside, just do I think the Rays could work if that stadium is built? I do. I think if it's built right, in the right location, in the right size, I'm not talking about a 45,000-seat baseball stadium in Tampa. It'll just look empty all the time. But the right size and the right location, yeah, I believe that it can work. I'm not sure I believe that about Miami. Or I guess, better put, if I had to choose one just to keep, one to save and one to get rid of, I'd rather keep the Rays and give them a shot than I keep trudging along in Miami sort of with nothing changing.
Major League Baseball, I'll make this my final question. I appreciate your time very much, Jared. Major League Baseball is about an $8 to $9 billion industry right now. So there are a lot of pluses. If you were to pull Rob Manfred aside, would you give him any danger signs just to say, hey, look, just beware of this?
I'm sure there's nothing I know that he doesn't know, but certainly the biggest concern baseball faces right now is the demographics of their audience. You know, the average baseball viewer and fan is some in his mid-50s at this point. That is not what you want when you look at the NBA, which has had incredible success attracting the younger audience. That's what baseball is trying to do. You know, baseball participation among kids is great up into about the age of 12. And starting at age 13, they lose a lot of people to other sports and other things like this. And child participation has shown to be the number one biggest driver of adult fans. So fandom is whether they played as a child. So baseball knows it needs to get younger. It needs to find a way to attract people that aren't 55. So while baseball's doing fine, like you said, you know, $10 billion business, it's making more money every single year. You need to have a long-term view of these things, and there definitely are some warning signs of things that need to be addressed before it's too late. And I know Rob Manfred knows these things. Just we'll see how they get addressed.
And the other part, too, is they're going to keep a real close eye on the New Jersey case before the Supreme Court, too, because that will be another avenue for Major League Baseball to make money with gambling.
So that's something that all sports are keeping their eye on very closely. Yeah. That will be very interesting how that all works out.
Yeah. Jared, thanks so much for your time. I really enjoyed the conversation very much. Hopefully we get you back again.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Jared Diamond, national baseball writer for the Wall Street Journal. That New Jersey case, and they can rule on it any time between now and July 1st. But that case is a landmark. If they say no, then that's it. If they say yes, it opens it up for every state to have sportsbook. Expect the leagues, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, jump right in. That 1% proposal you've seen from the NBA might be a model that the rest of them use. Getting 1% of every bet placed, which then, of course, would then drive revenue way up. Now, the tricky one's the NCAA. How would they handle it? What would they do? All right. Brewers Outlet Cinco de Mayo specials between now and Tuesday. Corona 24-pack bottles, $29.95. Dos Equis 24-pack bottles, $23.95. And Modelo 24-pack cans, $22.95. Always remember, at the Suits House, it's Cinco de Mayo. Every day. On News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, Tony Carr is going to get invited to the NBA Combine in Chicago. It's a big step. They put the players into four tiers. 1, 2, 3, and 4. If you end up in tiers 3 or 4, you're not going to get invited to the combine. Tony was put into one of the top two tiers and got in. And that's big for him. Now a chance to show against great competition exactly what he can do. And right now, according to them, he's, I mean, they talk about a loose definition of where he fits, 25 to 60. 25 is in the back end of the first round. 31 through 60 happens to be all second round. So that's where they have him listed right now. And we'll see what he can do with it. I think he'll do well. And Patrick Chambers yesterday, they renegotiated the final year of his contract, then tacked on three more. So it's a four-year deal. And I believe we're going to get Patrick on the show next week. Next half hour, Steve Bortstein from Louisville, from Fox Sports Radio on the Kentucky Derby. Final half hour, my brother. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And led by the barrels and the dills, the pickle bar is indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.